So now I'm going to talk a little bit about the rest of Mari. Mari is, like I said in the beginning, celebrating 10 years this year. Great investigators have been funded over the course of Mari, and I'm going to give you a little bit more detail about that now. So can you guys hear me okay? Okay. So this slide I put up just to quickly go over the data, and most of you in this room are the choir, so to speak, but blacks and Hispanics remain disproportionately affected by new HIV infections. And these are still the data. This has been the case with this epidemic for at least the last 20 plus years, and we are now 32, 33 years into the epidemic, so definitely we have a lot of work to do. But as you can see there, blacks and Hispanics remain disproportionately affected. One of the more groundbreaking publications that was just published actually in 2011 in Science is this publication that I'm showing you here. And so, yes, Mari was started in 2003, and we kind of knew at that time that historically underrepresented researchers weren't necessarily getting the funding that we thought they should get, but this publication really brought it home. Science is a highly respected journal. The on the author line there, in case you guys don't know, Reynard Kington, who's the senior author, was actually a high-level person at NIH at the time. He collected the data and did this study. So it came from NIH. And basically, this study said that, you know, when they looked over a number of years of their different funding that they had going on, they looked by different things, and they looked at race, ethnicity, they looked at institution where the person was trained, they looked at number of publications, all those things. They found that blacks were disproportionately underfunded compared to non-Hispanic whites when it came to NIH research dollars. So the study was very groundbreaking in that it really brought some science behind what we thought was going on, and they suggested that some policies be put in place to help bridge the gap. And Mari, in a sense, is one of those policy things, because what Mari is doing is saying, okay, we have some dollars here that we're going to protect, and we're going to make them available to persons who historically have not been able to access dollars the same as some other folks. So just to give you a little bit of background, Mari, we considered it innovative in 2003. It's still kind of groundbreaking in that it really funds at a substantial level compared to some other programs that are out there. It's targeted, it's culturally appropriate research by funded, mostly minority researchers, and it remains an imperative component, we think, of addressing the HIV epidemic in black and Hispanic communities and in diversifying the HIV scientific workforce. So very important to maintain something like Mari and to fund the investigations and the investigators that you see in front of you. Mari, again, it was started in 2003 at the CDC, and we were really seeking to do several things. We wanted to make sure we supported research by early career investigators who have cultural and community ties to black and Hispanic communities that are disproportionately affected by the HIV epidemic. We wanted to try to fill research gaps that led to the development of culturally appropriate HIV prevention interventions with and for affected communities, and we wanted these interventions to be investigator-initiated. You know, earlier in the epidemic, in the late 80s and early 90s, a lot of the interventions that were being developed were from institutions that were not necessarily on the front line, and so we really wanted to bring it more to the community level in terms of the funding and the types of studies that were being done. And of course, we wanted to increase the number of historically underrepresented minority researchers who would be able to, further down the road in their career, successfully compete for larger subsequent research funding. And so this is kind of the shout out that we got back in 2004. When Mari was first announced in 2003, JAMA came and they did a little news blurb about the fact that CDC had started this initiative and that we were really trying to close some research gaps in black and Hispanic communities. It was great at the time. The person you see pictured there is Dr. Shanazo Cunningham. She was one of our round one investigators. She was funded from 2003 to 2006. And her study was really innovative in that it what she tried to do was go to persons who were unstably housed. They could have been homeless. They could have been living in a single occupancy residence, and she was trying to take HIV services to them. So she was trying to remove any barriers they may have had in terms of getting to a facility or maybe not liking the provider that they had. And she really found some great information, and people were willing to let folks into their home. You know, sometimes people don't let everybody into their home, but she really got them to let them into their home. She actually found also that persons were more comfortable with some of the nursing and social work staff coming into their homes and sharing information, even compared to the physician staff. But it was good. You know, she got the people, she met them where they were in terms of the treatment that they needed. So for the rest of this talk, I'm going to give a brief update about some of our MARI activities that have been going on over the last 10 years. I'm going to summarize progress to date, including some dissemination products and ongoing HIV prevention and disparities research. A lot of that you guys already have heard in this session. And I'm going to discuss, this is very important for the future rounds of MARI, discuss MARI in the context of the National HIV/AIDS Strategy, which was just created in July 2010, and what was newly created just a couple of months ago, the HIV Continuum of Care Initiative, also initiated by the White House. And then we'll talk some about next steps. So I changed this presentation a couple of weeks ago because I was going to talk more and give more background about our different investigators. But I don't have to do that now because we have our paper that has come out in hard copy in the December 2013 issue of AJPH, and it was published online a couple of weeks ago. So I'm going to refer you to that for some of the more detailed information. I'm just going to hit on a couple of high points for this talk so that I can talk more about future next steps for MARI. So the criteria for MARI are pretty much the same. They've been the same over these 10 years, and I expect that they will be the same if and when we announce round four in 2014. But the eligibility criteria are having a research or a health professional master's or doctorate level degree from an accredited school or program. You have to be a first-time primary investigator on an HHS-supported HIV research award of greater than or equal to $250,000, so a quarter of a million. And you have to be able to demonstrate previous experience working in, accessing, and or being from a disproportionately affected minority community. Disproportionately affected could be by race, ethnicity, could be by sexual orientation. Those are the main disparity areas noted in NHOS, and so our language is consistent with that. So briefly, what have we done over these 10 years? MARI basically gets about $2 million a year, and we fund the investigators who are selected by an objective review panel. I wish I could say I selected some of the folks myself, because I love them all dearly, but we actually, the applications come in, and it's a process that I'm completely blinded to. And so in round one, we had an objective review panel basically rank everybody, and we were able to fund 11 investigators in round one. 10 completed their studies. One has continued to do HIV research, but Jose can tell you a lot about this, but OMB kind of blocked his process from being able to finish. And I can answer questions about OMB later if you like. The good part is that for round three, OMB has not had to be an issue, so that's a good thing. With round two, from 07 to 2011, we funded 8 investigators. 8 investigators have completed their studies. Shout out to Jose Nanim, who's in the room. And for round three, that we currently have 8 investigators who are funded, and studies are ongoing at this time, and you heard from 4 of them this morning. So that's great. And MARI, before MARI started in 2003, we really did a lot of groundwork. At the time, the program was led by Lisa Fitzpatrick, and she basically, you know, went around and she talked to all these different chair people, and she talked to early career investigators and people who were out in the world of HIV research. And we learned a lot of things. One of them was that the funding for MARI really had to be significant. It had to be something to make chairs, deans take notice so that when it was time for things like tenure review or if someone had a certain request, they could say, well, you know, I have this grant here and it's a little bit more than 10 or 20K. Nothing wrong with 10 or 20K, but it allows the MARI investigator to really be their own PI. And that's the other thing that MARI does that is unique to some other programs is we really ask our investigators to be their own PI. They get a local senior mentor that they choose, but that local senior mentor is only expected to devote maybe 5% of their time, sometimes less, and sometimes when we have had budget challenges, truly like over and above committed mentors have gone down to maybe 1 or 2% or sometimes nothing, depending on what was going on. So it's really been something that has worked well in terms of the amount of funding we've been able to give. Again, the direct mentorship is at the CDC level, and we didn't do it with round one in terms of the local mentors, but we learned by round two that that was really something that we needed to add on to help support the growth of the investigators. And we support them with everything. We help them with their study budgets, making sure that we can help them review and make sure their dollars are going where they need to go, our protocol development, data management, and analysis if they need it. Some people started out wanting to do hard copy paper things, and we do a lot of QDS training. We help people if they might need to find some money in their budget to get tablets and do data collection that way. We help them with that. And we also, when we can, do some qualitative trainings and help with qualitative analysis and support. And we also do some support with scientific writing. And we definitely encourage, we make a push for abstract submissions and really keep people engaged in terms of those things. So the objective review panels that we've had have done an excellent job. And one of the things that I also like to do is if someone finishes MARI, I add their names to the list of people who can serve as reviewer. Very important that we have different perspectives in the room. Again, shout out to the doctor. But it's important because when we had the first round of MARI, I actually had a colleague after the fact tell me that he was concerned that not enough broad perspectives were at the table when it came time to review the applications. And so we take that very seriously, and we want to make sure that people who are reviewing the applications understand and get the community context of what's going on or what the investigator is suggesting. And so we think that's an additional thing that we've been able to do with MARI is help our investigators, after they're done with their funding, come back and be a part of the dialogue about, you know, how these things should work or what they should look like. So our review panel, based on the projects that have been selected so far, this is what it looks like in terms of the map. And we've done a good job so far of getting the studies to happen in the cities, the jurisdictions that really have a disproportionate amount of HIV. And what you don't see pictured here on the map are D.C. and Puerto Rico, but we funded them as well. So the details of this you can see in the paper, but basically our folks have had numerous presentations at domestic and international scientific conferences, many first authored peer-reviewed scientific products. Of the 11 in rounds 1 and 2, who were able to complete their studies, 11 of those 18, 61%, have successfully competed for NIH R01, K23, and other types of research grants as of earlier this year. And to date, we estimate that our MARI investigators, post-MARI, have been awarded over $33 million in subsequent research and program funding awards for HIV prevention and health disparities work. And several MARI investigators have obtained promotions in early tenure. So it's definitely all a good thing. I won't linger on this table long. This table is actually a supplemental table if you look at the MARI paper that's in AJPH online. But this basically, it gives you more detail for those who are interested in terms of what folks have been doing post their MARI award and the dollar amounts and some of the studies that they've gone on to do. So what's really exciting, in addition to the career growth and the addition of what people are bringing to science and to HIV prevention, this is really where the money is, so to speak. So these are folks. This slide just represents some folks who are out in the field doing some of the work that I think makes MARI special. And so up here, I already mentioned to you Dr. Shinazo Cunningham. There she is. She's gone to one of the single residence occupancy places, and she's talking to a gentleman who's living with HIV who had been out of care for several months. And so we have that shot there. Next to her, you see the group holding up the T-shirts that say Impact. You see Dr. Ciara Wallace was part of round two as well. And her study was basically working with recently released men from incarceration and talking with them about facilitators and barriers for HIV testing and some different things that she could learn around and around that. The good part is what she found was that a lot of the brothers who were getting out of Rikers were being HIV tested, so Rikers was doing a really good job. What she also found, though, is that that period right after release was very, very high risk. And so what she did was she took some of the data that she got from the focus groups from immediately after the release, the things they talked about in terms of the activities they would do, and she successfully applied for a small NIH grant to fund that work, and so now she's doing that work. In the far corner, you see there one of our rural South investigators from round two, Dr. E.J. Brown. She literally took the laptops with the QDS questionnaires to the men wherever they were, and so if the men were hanging out in a park in northern rural Florida, she took the instrument there, and she talked with them. The survey asked all types of questions about sexual history, behavior, HIV testing, and that study also did rapid HIV testing. So she was able to enroll over 600 men doing research like that, where she basically just went to where they were. In the lower corner there, you see Dr. David Malabranch. He was actually funded as one of our round one investigators, and David has continued to do not only his research focuses on mostly black MSM and other gay men issues, but he's expanded to work on several different things. He's also an advocate, as all of our MARI investigators are. They advocate as well as do their research. In the middle at the center there is Dr. Anita Raj. She was also funded in round one. She's currently a professor at UCSD. The work that she started in Boston, her MARI-funded work, has actually expanded into a structural intervention for African-American men who are at risk for HIV. And so that study actually has been expanded. It's been funded now as an R01, and she's doing that work. It was going to take place in Philly. I think it's actually moved to D.C. now because her co-PI, Dr. Boleg, I think, recently moved to George Washington University. And so that study is going to take place, the R01 version of that study is going to take place in D.C. And in the corner there, we have a photo. It may be from round two or round three, but it's basically the Familias Unidas intervention. Familias Unidas has been part of MARI. In round two, we had Dr. Willie Prado, who worked on a streamlined version of Familias Unidas. And basically, it's a family-based intervention that helps parents and other family members gain communication skills to talk with their youth about sexual risk reduction, drug use reduction, et cetera. And in round three, we have MARI investigators who are working on the internet-based version of that intervention. So MARI in action is definitely big. So I'm going to shift now to talk about what's currently going on in this world of HIV prevention. You guys know a lot has happened in HIV prevention over these last few years. We finally have a policy behind some of the work that we do. In July 2010, the Obama administration put out the National HIV/AIDS Strategy for the United States. And this has been really important because a lot of what we do at CDC is tied back to the policy that comes out of D.C., out of the White House. And so NHOS goals, and you guys may already know this, reduce HIV infections, increase access to care and treatment for persons living with HIV infection, and reduce HIV-related health disparities. The beauty of MARI is that we think all of our investigators are covering those areas in some way with their different projects. But I bring this up because it's an important part of what we're going to see or what we're going to need to make sure we link to moving forward. So this is a schematic that I like to put up. It was developed by Dr. Mugavero, who's at UAB at Birmingham. But I like to put it up because it just it shows you some of the numbers that are now part of this NHOS strategy. So, you know, I think before we were able to talk about our goals in more general terms, and now we are asked to be very specific about what we're doing. So you can see there we're really trying to increase HIV serostatus awareness up to about 90%. For those who are diagnosed, we're trying to increase linkage to care within 3 months of diagnosis. For those who are who may fall out of care, what are some ways that we can think about getting them back into care, helping them maintain adherence on ART? And then how do we help get people who may be on meds to work with their provider and get down to undetectable? And again, this is important because, you know, of all the different things that have happened over the last few years. So we've had pre-exposure prophylaxis, studies that have come out showing that to be effective. We've had a lot of studies that have come out talking about treatment as prevention. And no matter where you are on the spectrum of PrEP and NPEP and treatment as prevention, because I can say that I, even as a clinical provider, am not all the way there, but I can tell you that this is definitely driving some of the dollars that you see in terms of what's being released for research. And so I thought it was important that I go over this with you guys, especially as you begin to think about MARI Round 4. Okay? So, what do we know? We also know in the last few years we started to look a lot more at this cascade. It was developed, it was published, and people talked about, you know, well, what's really going on in terms of each level of the cascade that you can get people into care with. We know overall that we have to do better. We estimate that about 72 to 75% of persons who are living with HIV infection do not have a virus at undetectable levels. And we know from some of the recent studies that have been published that that is helpful both for the individual who may be living with HIV, or it can be helpful for the individual living with HIV, but also for their potential partners. Another thing we know from some of the recent analyses that have been done, and this slide is from AIDS 2012, although Irene Hall recently published this in JAMA, and the findings that were significant in JAMA actually were age-related, not necessarily race-ethnicity related. But it's important to note that you can see that there are disparities still present at each level of the continuum of HIV care. And so at each part of the continuum, whether it's diagnosis, linkage to care, retention, prescribed ART, or viral suppression, Blacks and Hispanics have disproportionately lower rates compared to non-Hispanic whites. And so it's still important that whether your research is on the biomedical side or the social science side, that this is something that we need to address. And I think there's a way for them to both come together. And so this continuum of care, this cascade, as we call it, has really started to impact a lot of what we do, both clinically, I think, but also at CDC and other entities that are funding different research. And so just a couple of months ago, in case you weren't aware, and some of you may already be aware of this, President Obama basically created the HIV Care Continuum Initiative, which basically is saying, hey, I see this cascade here, and I see that we have this national HIV/AIDS strategy. How can we get these things working better so that we can make that cascade look a little different? So why is that important? That's important because the HIV prevention work that we do has, I believe, more expanded prevention opportunities. And so a lot of what we've been doing in MARI has been with unexposed. We have a lot of behavioral, structural, primary prevention interventions that we've been working on. And then we also have some of the some other studies that have been part of the other categories. But I put this up because I think it's important for us to begin to think more broadly about how we approach our research and whether or not our research can also fit into some of these other categories. One of the things we recently had to do at CDC, I was asked to talk about MARI in the context of the continuum of care. And so what I did was I took each of our currently 8 funded studies, and I listed them out and put an X in the box based on what they either are currently doing or they could possibly add on to their study pending available dollars. And so I list for you there where people are, and this is my assessment. I didn't have it came so quickly that I didn't have time to touch base with our 8 investigators to see what their thoughts were. But you heard from Dr. Camacho earlier this morning. If we're asked to, when we're asked to put this on this grid, Andres has different parts of his study that I think I could, you know, argue would fit into each of those things. And you can see there where Dr. Bronner's work would fit there. Maggie, Dr. Pereira, who's not here, she's doing a study right now, which is her MARI study is looking at feasibility and acceptability of rapid HIV testing in dental clinics in high prevalence areas in Miami, Florida. And so I've checked there the boxes that I think her study could fit into. Dr. DeMarc Hickson, he's our investigator who is at my brother's keeper in Jackson, Mississippi. He's also not here right now, but his study is really looking broadly at different factors that can impact young Black MSM in Jackson, Mississippi and in Atlanta, Georgia. And so I checked there where his study might fall into the continuum of care. And you can see Carlos's study is on the first line there, developing and testing a stigma reduction intervention for HIV-positive MSM in Puerto Rico. Either he could add on for those uninfected men who are part of the dialogue, or it would be something easy to add on to the study. And you can see there where I've added in everybody else's PAMs. You know, Pam, your study is interesting because you have the stigma piece, and it's faith-based, but because you're engaging persons who are living with HIV, I think some of the dialogue and the stigma reduction, if it's effective, could have an impact on linkage and retention, et cetera. And then we have Diana, Dr. Rowan, who's in the room up here toward the front. What is her study doing? I know you're not actively testing the men, but that could be something added in, or certainly linkage for those who are on the social online networking site. And Janine and David, who are also in the room, I think, they're working on a round three study, which is basically the internet-based adaptation of Familias Unidas, an intervention to reduce sexual and drug risk with youth. And I checked there the boxes that their study is either already doing or could possibly do. So next steps. Mari, you know, I say this all the time, we are a big extended family, and so whether it's round one, round two, round three, we try to keep in touch and interact and just show each other love whenever we can. So we still have a lot of mentorship and technical support that goes on for our investigators who are no longer funded from rounds one and two, but really the bulk of our day-to-day is with our round three folks. We try to provide as much support as we can. What's coming up next? And so I just gave you this little spiel about NHAS and the continuum of care. And so it is very likely that if funding is available for Mari Round 4, Mari Round 4 would start in fiscal year 2016. That's when our current Maori investigators funding would be done, the Round 3 would be done. And so fiscal year 2016 starts October 1st, 2015. And so if funding were available, I would draft the funding opportunity announcement by next summer. It is very likely that that funding opportunity announcement will be aligned with the Continuum of Care initiative. When I've written the last two funding opportunity announcements, the one for round two and for round three, and Ted and Lee also, Ted, he's moved on now, but he's still Mari family. But what we always do when we sit down and write the funding opportunity announcement is we look at what's known and what's unknown, and we try to invite applications that can fill in research gaps. With round three, one of the big areas that we didn't know a lot of information about, and it's still a gap. You know, some of the things that were gaps in round three are still gaps. But Latino MSM, that was like our number one category that we wanted applications in for Latino MSM because we really didn't have a lot of information about what was going on. Still a lot of unknowns about young Black MSM as the group that's having the only group with significant rate increases in incidence over the last few years. And so that's how we wrote the last couple of FOAs. This FOA is probably going to be in a similar fashion, written to address gaps, but also written to address gaps in the context of the continuum of care. So I don't say that to say, I know sometimes people get concerned that the HIV prevention model is becoming very clinical. I say that to you as a clinician that is not the goal of Mari, to make you start doing all PrEP research and all of that, but the goal of Mari is to meet you wherever you are in terms of your expertise. If you have a great idea about how we can do better getting people to re-engage in care, and if you have something that might work in a community that you work with that's disproportionately affected, and it involves a structural intervention that can successfully get someone into care, that might be the type of thing you want to start thinking about. We had a great Mari PI meeting yesterday, and one of our presenters was able to talk some about the things that people look for when applications are being ranked for funding. And so he talked some about, you know, the specific aims, and a lot of this is specific to NIH, but the specific aims and the different parts that people write. More and more, part of what you're going to have to do is link your proposal back to policy. And so when we're talking about NHAS and we're talking about the continuum of care, those are policies that you want to keep in your mind if you're thinking about writing an application, whether it's for Mari or for anyone. As we have limited dollars and as we have uncertainty about what will happen with those dollars at levels much higher than my pay grade. I just definitely wanted to share that with you, to please keep the policy in mind as you think about your different applications, and always tie it back to where you think your proposal can fit. So he's one of my favorite long-distance mentors, Dr. Satcher. This is just a quote that I have to pull out every now and then, because we still, even with Mari doing as well as it is and having 10 years, it's important to remind people of why a program like Mari is important, and why it's important that we have investigators who are early career and who are really close to the community on the front line, so to speak, doing some of this work. And thank you. This is our Mari picture that we took from AIDS 2012. We had some of our folks from round one there. We have several folks in the room who are there in this photograph. So I always like to end by thanking them, because without the great work that all of you guys are doing on the front line, it would not be possible. And this is us yesterday at our PI meeting. We're 10 years strong. And if you have any questions about Mari or anything that I talked about this morning, just email me. Thank you.